Good morning. Let's take our blue book, Hark the Glad Psalm, 184. And I just want to draw our attention to the encouragements. It's a gathering song, and so listen for the first word, hark, which means listen up or hear, the glad sound the Savior comes. And it encourages us to let every heart prepare a throne, a place where Jesus rules our hearts, and every voice a song. So we're going to sing. Notice what the Savior does in stanza 2 and 3, and we offer our glad hosannas in stanza 3. Let's stand to this.
In a world where power holds sway, Jesus will judge differently. We are called to prepare the way for this new kind of ruler. This calls for repentance and truth-telling. Read with me from the bulletin. John the Baptist proclaimed, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven has come near."
Prepare the way of the Lord. Make God's path straight.
As we prepare, we light this candle as a sign of peace.
Bring your restoration to your people, we pray.
Let's sing number 4 in the purple book, Sing the Story, stanzas 1 and 2. Rejoice, rejoice, the Savior comes. Number 4 in the purple, Sing the Story.
Rejoice.
Welcome to church this morning, the second Sunday of Advent. It's good to see all of you here. For our call to worship, please join me in the bulletin. A branch shall come forth from the stump of Jesse. Its roots shall bear fruit.
Be ready, O Lord, ready to be fruit bearers of your harvest. Bring forth the fruit of dwelling, longing, unity, and peace.
Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on us.
Renew our spirit, stand as a banner before us, bright as morning glory.
Prepare the way for new life that emerges in and through you, life that ripples out to your people, into all nations.
In you there is glorious rest.
Please join me in prayer. Dear Lord, in a world where so many experience violence, you, O God, light a candle of peace in our hearts. We wait together for a Savior who will be Emmanuel, Christ the Lord. By the tender mercy of you, O God, the dawn from on high will break upon us and give light to those who sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, and our feet shall be guided into the way of peace. Amen.
Let's take our blue book, and it's number 172, O Come, O Come, Emmanuel. This song has undergone tremendous changes over the centuries, like probably from 700 on. And we know that changing songs, we've got this new hymnal, that makes us nervous, makes me nervous, but also there's opportunities. This one's gone through all kinds of changes. The Latin text, first of all, we're singing in English. The refrain wasn't there until, let's say, about 500 years ago. And much later, each stanza of the songbook uses a name of Jesus, of the Messiah. Each stanza does that, but it's a different name for each stanza. So today we're going to sing 1, 2, and the last one. I'm going to get to the page here. 1, 2, and 6. So let's stand and we'll sing this song together.
Until I saw
the God of Israel, 174. And the context for this, this one also has been revised many times in terms of the version we have today. In Luke 1, there's that story where John the Baptist's dad, before he was dad, angel came and said, "You're going to have a baby." "Huh? How can that be?" So then he couldn't speak. The angel said, "You're not going to be able to talk until the baby arrives." So right after that, after the baby arrives, and he says, "John is his name," and everybody says, "What is that? No, none of your relatives are called John." But it's John, and he says, "Blessed be the God of Israel." So that's what we're singing here. Melody. They're using that.
Do we have an usher this morning to bring the offering for blessing? Let us pray. God with us, in this offering are gifts for you, gifts that will be spent on teaching each other about you, making opportunities to grow in love for each other, maintaining a space of hospitality in this building, and reaching outside our doors to those who need our support, so they, in turn, can share their gifts. Teach us to give good gifts, for you are the giver of the best gift. We thank you, Jesus, in whose name we pray. Amen.
Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
Let's take our blue book again and turn to the song, It Came Upon a Midnight Clear. It's 195. And whenever we're singing a song, we're singing words, we've got a melody. The melody gives us some emotional insight. And this one here is interesting. We will only sing stanzas 1, 2, and 5 today. Notice in the first line, the angels, they were singing something that is called the Glorious Song of Old. We'll get back to that in a bit, but what were they singing? Peace on earth, goodwill to all. Now, we're singing it today, but look at the very last line. It says, the whole world send back the song which now the angels sing. Sometimes we think the angels just showed up on Christmas Eve, but apparently they're singing right now in the heavenly realm. So we're encouraging each other and the world to sing that good old song, Peace on Earth, Goodwill to All, which we're going to join immediately with the choir that's above us. Let's stand, please.
Scripture is coming from Isaiah 11, verses 1 to 10, and I'm reading from the New International Version. The branch from Jesse. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit. The Spirit of the Lord will rest on him, the Spirit of wisdom and of understanding, the Spirit of counsel and of might, the Spirit of the knowledge and fear of the Lord, and he will delight in the fear of the Lord. He will not judge by what he sees with his eyes, or decide by what he hears with his ears. But with righteousness he will judge the needy. With justice he will give decisions for the poor of the earth. He will strike the earth with the rod of his mouth. With the breath of his lips he will slay the wicked. Righteousness will be his belt, and faithfulness the sash around his waist. The wolf will live with the lamb, the leopard will lie down with the goat, the calf and the lion and the yearling together, and a little child will lead them. The cow will feed with the bear, their young will lie down together, and the lion will eat straw like the ox. The infant will play near the cobra's den, and the young child will put its hand into the viper's nest. They will neither harm nor destroy on all my holy mountain, for the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the Lord, as the waters cover the sea. In that day, the root of Jesse will stand as a banner for the peoples. The nations will rally to him, and his resting place will be glorious. Romans 15, verses 4 to 13. For everything that was written in the past was written to teach us, so that through the endurance taught in the scriptures and the encouragement they provide, we might have hope. May the God who gives endurance and encouragement give you the same attitude of mind toward each other that Jesus Christ had, so that with one mind and one voice you may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Accept one another, then, just as Christ accepted you, in order to bring praise to God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant of the Jews on behalf of God's truth, so that the promises made to the patriarchs might be confirmed, and moreover, that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles. I will sing the praises of your name. Again it says, rejoice, you Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles. Let all the peoples extol him. And again Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will spring up, one who will arise to rule over the nations. In him the Gentiles will hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the word of the Lord.
Let's pray together. Our Father in heaven, may the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts as we come before you and your word be pleasing in your sight. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Part of the reason that I chose these two out of the lectionary list for today was to review kind of what we looked at last week. It was the same overlap. There was the Isaiah passage and a Romans passage. And very rarely do you read Isaiah and Romans together. So I couldn't resist. If you think today is going to be a repeat of last week, well, good for you for remembering, for listening first and then remembering what was said last week. I don't think I could. Although I would have, I'd have to do a fair bit of digging and reviewing. But before I get into that, I want to give you a heads up on what the theme is that our worship committee sort of put together. We're following materials that were printed and prepared for all of the Mennonite churches. So many Mennonite churches will be following this same material. And the key word for this season, for this year, is restoration. restoring. Now try in your minds to put the idea of restoration together with the various themes of Advent, and you will find the confusion and the pain and the struggle with which I've been working for a few months already. But I think it's a worthy endeavor, and it helps us to think differently through this same season of Advent, because we do so many things traditionally. We follow similar patterns that we often lose the opportunity to learn something new in the old pattern. So here's our opportunity, the opportunity to think about restoration, and that God is longing to restore not only God's people, but the whole earth, all the people, and all of creation. So the idea of restoration happens over time. And that's a key point for today. This happens over time. It's not just instantaneous, which is often the way that we celebrate Christmas. Instantaneous. There's the baby. The baby is born. It's all done. All the fulfillment of the prophecies. But that just really begins a whole lot of more. So here you see the Advent wreath. Looks different than our usual Advent wreath, doesn't it? We see only two candles so far. Last Sunday there was one. Next Sunday there will be three. And bit by bit there will be the decorative greenery that comes around it. But at the beginning we wanted it to be bare and stark, so people would look and say, hey, what is that? What's going on here? And you start to think and to wonder. If you came in this door, or if you want to turn around, you'll see a red cloth hanging on the wall there. And maybe you didn't even notice. Maybe you just thought, oh, red for Christmas. Isn't that nice? If you did notice, you'll see that there were some holes in that red cloth. And those holes are being patched, restored, piece by piece, bit by bit, step by step. And if at the back, between the cloakroom and the elevator, you see that there is a table there, and it's got a big round platter, it looks like, full of dirt and some twigs. Many have asked, what is this? And they're looking at it. It's a forest. And that forest is being restored. Bit by bit, step by step, week by week. This week it looks like a much better forest than it did last week. And there is light in there to help us connect these steps towards Advent. So those are the major visuals that we have to help us, with our eyes and our imagination, try to get a grasp on what restoration is. I hope what I say today will not totally dismantle all of that. And yet, as I struggled with these two passages and the theme inside of it, I was really struck most strongly by possibly our need for repentance, which fits together. You know, this is John the Baptist Sunday. We sang a bunch of songs, including repentance ideas. And I thought, what if the main idea for today is that we need to confess and repent that we actually don't want restoration? What if that is the case? What if, in fact, we would rather just leave things as they are? Don't stir things up. Just keep quiet. Just swallow it. Let the past be the past, even though an event or something someone said in the past prohibits the restoration, the full restoration of relationships. What if in our preparation, you know, we say, prepare the way of the Lord. Oh, it's wonderful. Yes, prepare the way of the Lord. But you know, John the Baptist also said, repent, and why are you vipers here in the desert? Who did you come to see? What did you want to look at? Harsh message. And what are we preparing? Just as the Romans passage said, all of these scriptures were written for our learning, for our encouragement, for our steadfastness. If, in fact, we take them seriously, these are also for us. But are we preparing our own ways? Are we more concerned about preparing or solidifying or maintaining our own ways, our own practices, our own system, our comforts? If, in fact, this is the case, that we don't want restoration, we just want to be happy and satisfied, then Christmas will be nostalgia year after year after year. And God invites us to something more. God longs for something much more, something new. Not just a rearranging of the pieces, but genuinely something new. God longs to restore genuine restoration of relationships, of peoples, of systems, not only inside of us, not only at a personal level, but cosmically. God is in the business of restoration. God will continue to restore, hallelujah, in spite of our own selfishness and stubbornness and our own evil inclinations. We can just name it. This is a safe place to name those things because God is inviting us into a new way of being. God is inviting us into restoration. And this God is the God that Isaiah spoke about, where the Spirit is going to rest on him. Spirit of wisdom, understanding, counsel, might, knowledge, and the fear of the Lord. These are things we can rely on. We can trust this kind of power. We can trust this kind of overseer to bring about the correct and good restoration. So if we look then towards Romans and connect this, here Paul is saying all of these scriptures were written for us to help us understand what all of this means, but this doesn't happen like that. And if you know about restoration, you know it's a long, slow, painful process. No matter what you're trying to restore, it's long, slow, and painful. But it happens over time. So Paul, writing to these people who are in the church in Rome, there are Gentiles, there are Jews, who were supposed to be separate. All of their lives they were taught, this is supposed to be a separation. Be different. Don't be like them. Them, them, them. And now all of a sudden, Paul is preaching this new gospel, this restoration of harmony? What? How is that possible? And yet Paul uses all of these scriptures to say, look, it was there all the time. It's right under our noses the whole time that we were all supposed to be brought together and we just didn't see it. But over time, as we learn, as we continue to turn back to God and say, oh yeah, I was on the wrong path there. I had the wrong idea. I was interpreting that scripture in a completely different way. I didn't see what you're showing us. And right here, Linda read very well, as it is written, as it is written. And again, it says, for those who would like to write things down, you might like to write down 2 Samuel 22, verse 50. That's one of his quotations from Samuel. Psalm 18, verse 49. Deuteronomy 32, verse 43. Psalm 117, verse 1. Isaiah 11, verse 10. Paul used a host of Old Testament scriptures to show that, look, God's purpose here is for a united voice, bringing all people together, and it always has been. This is not something new, a totally different direction. And all scripture has been given to encourage us to continue to welcome one another. That's the word he uses. Welcome one another. Based on the facts of scripture. All along, the law, the prophets, and wisdom, all of this were pointing towards this inclusive, welcoming, gathering together. And not only that, not only saying, hey, this is a really good idea. You know, if you're a welcoming church, isn't that nice? Doesn't that make people feel good? No, it makes people feel bad. It does, because it makes us feel uncomfortable. It breaks apart the things that we're used to doing, because the more people that come, what comes with people? Ideas and opinions. And everybody has their own way of doing things, their own understanding. Now, as long as you keep it small, you have fewer ideas, and pretty much people can agree. But if you start welcoming other people, it expands. It's the right thing to do, but it is painful. Restoration is slow and painful, but happens over time. On the basis of Scripture, just as Paul said, the steadfastness and the encouragement of Scripture. Read Scripture through what Christ has done. Christ welcomed you! And you know, sometimes when I'm lying in bed at night and I can't sleep, what comes back to me? All of the errors of my past. Goes back all the way to when I was just, you know, a little kid, and you can't redo it. So that's the thing that makes it really, really hard. And it just comes back again and again. Oh, why did I do that? Why was I like that? I wish I wouldn't have said that. I wish I wouldn't have been so blah, blah, blah. All of this comes back. But that's not the purpose here. The purpose here is to invite us to recognize it through the Holy Spirit. The encouragement comes through the power of the Holy Spirit. Bring it to God. Repent and say, yes, I prefer my own way. And I think following the real way of God is going to make me feel uncomfortable. But because God is God, and God has all wisdom and counsel, the Spirit of the Lord is resting on Jesus, because of those things, I really have to follow that way. I have to. Scripture shows it. Scripture encourages us in that way. Now, these changes are going to happen. They are going to happen in our time, but also over time. Are we ready to get on with it? To join the work crew? We've seen how they've been clearing and preparing our roads, have we not? And they all coordinate together. One person does one task, another does another. And then all of a sudden, you can drive down this road and there's no obstacle. It's a beautiful, smooth road to travel. But if we don't allow this restoration to happen, then you've got to drive down some of these other roads and hit your head on the roof of your car. You know what I'm talking about. All over the place. You never want to drive that road. And we have to ask ourselves, are we creating those kinds of bumps and ruts for other people? Because we don't want them driving down our road. A day of possible repentance, but also a day of encouragement through Scripture. The Scripture that we know and we can count. This is God's invitation to restoration. Amen.
Thank you for passing on that invitation from God. Psalm 182 in the Blue Book says, "Oh, how shall I receive thee?" And the question is, Jesus is coming today, coming into our lives today. How do we meet him? How do we welcome him? So let's look at stanza 2 first. Who is this Jesus? Love caused thine incarnation. Love brought thee down to me. Thy thirst for my salvation procured my liberty. And this love, in the third line, led thee to embrace in love. There is no greater love than love, all excelling, our lost and troubled race. So that's who's coming. Question is, how do we receive thee? We welcome him. We bring our love, and we receive his love. Let's stand and sing stanzas 1 and 2, and then we'll have the benediction and sing stanza 3.
May you go out in peace, preparing the way as people of the story of God's restoration.
To podcast copyrighted music in this service is obtained from one license, license number 400100P, and from CCLI license number 11517309. All rights are reserved.